Hello and welcome. I'm Jacob Oppler. Today, I'm going to talk about the acts of a senator named Edmund G. Ross. In 1866, Edmund Ross came to Washington as a junior senator from Kansas. Ross was a Republican and had been a strong opponent of slavery. When he arrived to D.C., Ross appeared ready to join with radical Republicans in Congress in opposition to President Andrew Johnson. Like radical Republicans, Ross had established a strong position against slavery in the Democratic Party. Previously, he had fought against slave supporters at Bleeding, Kansas, and joined the Union Army in 1862. Throughout Reconstruction, the Republican-led Senate condemned President Andrew Johnson's use of his veto power. Radical Republicans sought to punish the Confederate rebels, but the president refused to punish the South. Although Republicans in the Senate were able to override several of the president's vetoes, they were unable to reverse all of them with a two-thirds majority. Edmund Ross's arrival to Congress bolstered Republican power, but by the time he had arrived, the Republicans had other ambitions. Republicans were now, instead, eager to remove President Johnson from office by way of impeachment. The radical Republicans were eventually unsuccessful in their attempts to impeach President Johnson, and it was Edmund Ross, an avid anti-Democrat and the unexpected dissident, who voted against his party and preserved the nation's system of checks and balances. Whether Ross truly felt that impeachment was an unconstitutional tool for political gain, or if he was bribed for the vote, as some historians suggest, the young senator single-handedly preserved the United States' balance of powers. Essentially, radical Republicans in the Senate had one clear intention: to remove President Johnson from office so Congress could pass legislation and further Reconstruction laws. Many in the Senate detested Johnson, and public sentiment fell along the same lines, but 36 votes out of 54 were still needed to reach the two-thirds majority for a conviction. Republicans could afford to lose no more than 6 votes from its own party in order to convict Johnson. During a Republican caucus meeting, an initial ballot was taken. In fact, 6 Republicans announced their dissent from the plan to convict Johnson. Radicals were furious, but their fury only intensified when the junior senator from Kansas withheld his preliminary vote. Before this poll was taken, Ross had explained to Senator William Sprague of Rhode Island, quote, "Though a Republican and opposed to Mr. Johnson and his policy, he shall have as fair a trial as an accused man ever had on this earth," end quote. From that moment on, Edmund Ross was subject to enormous pressure from fellow senators, citizens, and the press. He was monitored in public, harassed by newspapers, and received countless telegrams from voters imploring him to convict Johnson. Republican senators and ordinary citizens all knew that Ross's vote would be the crucial vote in determining the fate of Andrew Johnson's presidency. On May 16th, the Senate gallery filled with listeners anxious to hear Ross's deciding vote. With 24 votes counted, Ross's name was called. Weeks of anticipation, Ross's political career, and the office of president rested on this one vote. In his book, later published in 1896, Ross called the power of impeachment, quote, "a two-edged sword which must be handled with consummate judgment and skill," end quote. This two-edged sword was now to be determined by Ross, and would thereafter preserve the nation's balance of governmental powers. When asked, "Mr. Senator Ross, how say you?" the anti-Democrat junior senator from Kansas and opponent of President Johnson responded with a defiant, "not guilty." The hearing went on as predicted, and as it stood, 35 votes were counted for conviction and 19 for acquittal. Of those 19, it was Ross's vote that decidedly acquitted Andrew Johnson from impeachment and preserved the balance of powers in the United States. Ross would later explain that his vote was the result of an improper and unethical impeachment process. The president, he said, had not been brought to trial for any specific violation of the law. After the trial, citizens, politicians, and newspapers alike consistently tormented Ross. In fact, a Kansas Supreme Court justice once suggested in a letter to Ross that the disgraced senator should kill himself. Ross would later say, quote, "I almost literally looked down into my open grave," end quote. Ross was never elected to the Senate again, and still, several historians discount Ross as a political hero. They often define his vote as the product of corruption or bribery. While Edmund Ross's motives may never be uncovered, the effects of his vote have upheld the nobility of the American political structure. Writers and historians disagree about the true intentions behind Ross's vote, but this dispute over his character is unimportant. Author and Rutgers professor David Greenberg explains, quote, "Ross wasted no time exploiting Johnson's debt to him," end quote. Ross, Greenberg continues, implored Johnson to provide government jobs for friends and family. On the other hand, Ross claimed that the impeachment was unfounded, unjustified, and biased. The president was sure to have an unfair trial, with those who called for his conviction serving as the jury. Whether or not Ross's vote was bought, rewarded, or coaxed, he defended the president's right to a fair trial, suffered the consequences of an unpopular decision, and upheld the balance of powers in the United States.